Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X at JWright929. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, though, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. We're also available on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, as well as the SiriusXM app. Check out the live streams over on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. All happening on X. George Ruggiero is, of course, the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Good to have everybody here in studio. My company is, he is each and every Friday. He is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He's also the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Episodes available each and every day wherever you find your podcast. He's on the Everything app at DeMichael C. DeMichael Cole, good day, sir.
What's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to all. Let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We'll start off a Friday like we normally do. What are we going to be talking about on Monday? We will preview the weekend. Next segment, what did we learn this week? A couple of interesting stories that we want to discuss. We'll do that then. We'll get into the list. To kick off the second hour, had some NFL preseason action. Fernando Mendoza hit the field. DeMichael's team played. His starting quarterback got a series in. Also, you'll see my pick of my boy, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
That's your boy, right?
I love MJD. Oh, I loved him. When he was at UCLA.
You go way back.
I love MJD.
Yeah.
You can have your Reggie Bush. Give me Maurice Jones-Drew. Give me my boy between the tackles, running like a man. He's looking thick.
Yeah, even around the neck too.
That top button. I know that feeling. That top button was like Maximus.
Hanging on for dear life.
It was Maximus at the end of Gladiator.
I mean, one wrong blow.
The best feeling had to be Maurice right after they got off air. He could just take off that jacket, unbutton mm-hmm. that shirt. I saw him there. So we'll get into some more preseason action. We actually had some starters play. Also, the Titans were in action. They played their starters a lot. Talk some NFL there. Get into, we had the Field of Dreams game. I got a quick question. If baseball happens on Netflix, does it happen?
To me, baseball did not happen at all yesterday, really. Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
I was just searching for it, and then I realized, like, by the time, because we got back from dinner, it was my wife's birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got back, I'm used to that game just being on Fox.
Right.
And, like, Fox had, I don't know, some reality cooking show, I think, on MasterChef. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, yeah, Netflix. And I flicked it over, and it was like 6-1 already. I was like, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
You missed the game pretty much.
But because of that, George found a list of top 30 baseball movies. So we'll see whether
top
or not.
How many?
Top 30. First off, that is a good point. Are there really 30 worth ranking?
I was just going to say, they're probably going to do like Major League 1, Major League 2. Like, it's got to be like that.
Or any.
It can't just be like Major League.
George, were any. Direct to video. Like Sandlot 2 didn't show up, did it?
Yeah.
Not that I can recall. Let me pull up the list though real quick. I will say number 1 is Annoying.
Okay.
Really?
That's a good tease. I like that.
Harbaugh's top 5, right?
I loved Harbaugh.
I love Harbaugh. I love Major League.
Rest in peace,
Harbaugh.
G baby. Spoiler alert.
Is that really a spoiler?
I mean, if you don't know by now,
Hardball's what, like 03? I feel like I was like in ninth grade when that came out. I do just love the touching tale of a man that puts it all on an NBA midweek game.
Yeah. It is not top 5.
that even at 15 that spoke to me.
Yeah.
I was like, here's a look at your future. Blake Topmeyer is going to rejoin us after a week off. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's been happening in college football. He has ranked his 10 favorite games of the year. he'll give us more insight into whether or not any of us will be the offensive coordinator for the Akron Zips week one, although I guess none of us have bought season tickets yet. That's kind of limiting us. We'll pick our five for the weekend, we'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But before I guess we take a look at the weekend, DeMichael, we went through the schedule release yesterday. Is there anything that really stands out to you? Because at a certain level, yeah, there's certain days you want to look at, but it's kind of like, we know they're going to play 82 games. We see 82 games. It's really probably impossible to go W's and L's NBA,
right.
But anything that you took specific note of?
I mean, an 8-game homestand. That's
we Cobb said, according to AI, it was a record. We didn't know whether or not to trust it. We just felt like it had to be.
2026.
Like, I felt like if you see, like, a 5-game homestand, that stands out.
Yeah, six. Feel like they get six around six most years.
And then we're just blowing past that with eight.
Yeah, and you get an all-star break in between. But that wasn't even, you know, one of the biggest things that stood out to me. On the good side, the beginning of the season, the first eight games, very winnable stretch. I think within the first eight games, you don't play a team that made it past the first round of the playoffs last year. You only play one team that made the playoffs last season. Now, of course, you know, you add some stuff in, like Utah is going to look much,
obviously going to be a better team. Than taking out their starters in the fourth quarter.
Golden State's going to be healthy probably second game of the season. They're going to have Curry, Jimmy Butler, Porzingis, the whole group. Probably, and then, of course, Portland, Indiana's going to have Halliburton and Zubac. Like, those teams are going to look a little bit different. But overall, that's a stretch where you can start the season. If you split it, you go 5-3, you kind of give yourself some confidence. Because right after that, Oklahoma City at Toronto, Denver. That's probably a 3-game losing streak. So,
you sure?
Yeah, I mean, if Kawhi's over there especially. But
that might be asking a lot.
Yeah, right.
the investigation be over by then?
On the bad side, though, before the schedule came out, the one thing that I wanted to look at was January.
Okay.
If we're familiar with Grizzlies basketball, January has been the month of doom probably like three of the last 4 years, something like that.
January, yeah, it's weird it swung because forever we used to always talk about the slow starts.
Yep.
And then it was hot starts. And then the
dooms them.
And February, like the year from hell,
it
where
plateaus.
February,
yep,
yeah.
It plateaus after that. And Steven Adams was January when he got hurt that year. This still blows my mind. The year Taylor Jenkins got fired, you go up to like January 2nd, January 3rd. They were the number two seed.
They were the number two seed at the All-Star break. Now the gap
Houston,
had shrunk.
Houston, yeah,
like
Houston,
the gap had shrunk. Like it was down to like maybe.
Because Houston and them kept
ping-ponging.
Yeah, at that point. And then everything went from there. And then, of course, last season.
It's a hell of a collapse.
Yeah. January 9th, we found out they're listening to offers on Ja. And you had that one cool moment in Europe. But other than that, it was just not a good month. But this year's January slate, just as tough. I counted 11 games out of 14 against teams who made the playoffs last year. No other month do they have more than 8 games against teams who made the playoffs last season.
And I would also throw in Miami's going to be better than they were last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously, like, I'll be honest, right? Miami missed.
Yeah. So, Miami made the playoffs. I think they got swept. They got swept first round.
Let's see.
Because they beat Charlotte.
Oh, you're right. They beat them Charlotte. In that second playing game. Yeah. So, then
they just got swept. The only teams were they play Utah.
Pistons get them, maybe?
Utah and Dallas. Was it the Pistons?
Because Pistons were the one, right?
Pistons were the one.
So that would have been the 8, right?
The Pistons had a tough first-round matchup, I remember. Or was that second round? I can't remember the Eastern Conference. Look, Eastern Conference basketball.
I remember the Sixers-Boston series.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks-Hawks series, I remember, because we wondered after Game 2 when they blew the big lead, like, is it the same old Knicks?
Yeah.
And then they beat them by like 150 points the next two games. Then
Miami did not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought they missed.
Oh, so
they lost that game to Charlotte in overtime.
Oh,
that was the 126.
Yeah, that was the one LaMelo had
that
the,
was
okay.
the yes. with the chain, the,
okay.
the highlight
yeah,
chain.
Yeah, that's what it was. So it's 11 of the 14 teams made the postseason. That's what it was. It was playoffs or postseason. Okay, 11 of the 14 matchups against teams that made the postseason. It's the most.
That's a man carrying the NBA water.
Yeah. The only games that are not in January against teams that made the postseason last year, two against Dallas, one against Utah. January is going to be tough. And January is going to be kind of the month of decisiveness, right? We'll learn in that month how the Grizzlies are going to proceed for February. Because even though you have that eight-game homestand in February, go look at that stretch and tell me two games you see that you can just chalk up.
That was the first thing. It's like it's an eight-game homestand, but it is
but
like
what
a
calls, huh?
Holy cow.
But
I mean,
because
you got Philly. Mm-hmm. Are you at – we believe that it's like LeBron stays home minus 800.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have Jaws return.
What day of the week is that? Do we know if that's
Wednesday. So we looked at okay. – we were asking the same questions.
George looked
it up. Uh-huh. It's they play Monday at home, Wednesday at Memphis, Friday back at home. And I want to say the Friday game was a national game.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of – I want to say, though, it was a back-to-back, but remember one of LeBron's last years in Cleveland?
Yeah.
It was like the second night of a back-to-back, and I want to say maybe like the Grizzlies went to Cleveland and played, and then it was a return trip, and LeBron just stayed there.
Yeah.
And that was obviously one of the years where obviously he's only going to play once because he was in the East. But then you have, on paper, Ja's return.
Yep.
We need to get some.
No one's been talking about the Taylor Jenkins return. I guess people don't care.
We threw it out yesterday.
We definitely
I've not seen a lot of chatter in the streets about Santi's return.
Yeah, that one either. Yeah.
There was more discussion, I think, with John, who would win, Taylor or Dusty May one-on-one. I guess, was it the Battle of the Managers?
Oh.
Or I don't know. There was that question. Mm-hmm. So the two-game Portland stretch Orlando, so that's our first actual Dez return, right?
Yep. Well, it's so weird because you got him the preseason game.
Yep.
And then you have the February 10th game. And I haven't talked to anybody with the Grizzlies on this yet, but I'm curious to see how do you even approach that? Because do you do all the cool stuff at a game that's gonna have like probably a third of the seats full? Or do you wait till the regular season and like, okay, erase that whole first game back experience out of your head. This is actually your return game.
My personal belief is it's got to be a game that counts.
So the preseason game, you just...
Yeah, because...
Now introducing Desmond Bane. Oh, ooh, well, keep going.
I think, even though I don't think it would be a slight,
yeah,
you can see where it comes across as a slight.
That's my point.
Like, and... There's no, I don't believe the organization
no,
feels that way about
gonna,
Dez. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they want to do,
Dez his flowers.
They would like to do right by him.
He's going to get his flowers, for sure.
Obviously, it's a longer wait, and you've had a full season in between, but they had no control over that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm of the belief, do it during a real game.
Okay. I mean, that's what I think, too. It's just, I guess the NBA didn't, I mean, I don't know. It didn't really care to, like, I like how... For those guys, like for Santi, I looked at, I think his return.
It's
yeah.
at the very
he can come to Memphis like on a Saturday. Like from a lifestyle standpoint, these returns gonna line up good for these guys. Like especially Ja gets a weekend in Memphis, like a whole weekend. So that's, I mean,
are we not doing a Conchar return?
Conchar already played. He played.
Did we give him a video?
Yeah, him and Vince Williams.
Okay,
they got it
because I think Conchar.
They got the third quarter video. You remember Jaren got the one at the beginning in the first quarter, the big long, and Conchar and Vince Williams, the video.
I try to forget most of that season.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because it's not
except
much
for the Utah, the game of the century.
Oh, that was
a
was
true tankathon.
That in Chicago. You like that game against the Bulls. Well, no,
I hate it. It was a disaster. It was almost a perfect game.
That's the one you hate.
Was it Kobe?
You like the Utah one?
Was it Kobe White?
It was Kobe White.
Who needed to finish? If he finished the play, yeah, it would have been like a perfect game. Mm. Instead, it was just a devastating loss. The other question, so Mark was texting me, and he was like, do you think that the Utah opener is by design? And
it made a lot of sense.
It makes sense, but I also don't, I felt like last year, oftentimes, the schedule kind of rhymes with previous years.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like that Indiana game's always, like, in the first 10 of the year.
Yeah, they play Indy. It feels like that first half of the season a lot.
The season started with Utah last year, right? But it was in Utah.
I think it was Pelicans.
Was it Pelicans? So maybe, and then they went on the road to Utah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they always go on the road in Utah somewhere in the first.
We were laughing. It feels like now the schedule is home opener to start the season and then head to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the rhythm it feels like it has now. So I'm kind of cool with it. The home opener is usually always well attended. So you'd like it to be a big game, even though, like you said, Jaren's return, it's a different one.
Yeah.
I got to imagine there's going to be a Brandon Clark emotional angle.
Yeah.
With Jaren.
And Jaren's going to be there.
Correct.
So, I feel like it probably was purposeful in a way. And Utah, who else? Okay, look at it like this. Who does it make sense for Utah to start the season against other than Memphis?
Who gave them all the draft picks?
Who gave Utah all the draft picks?
I'm trying to think of some of the, like.
Was that the Lakers?
For Kessler.
The Kessler deal?
Yeah.
That's about it. But no.
But the Lakers not starting. Lakers not starting the season with those. No, I'm not going to talk about Utah, but the Lakers are.
Well,
Lakers are in a whole nother league.
I didn't
check. Starting the season against the Jazz.
Did the Lakers get the full 34?
Oh, yeah. No. Wait, did they? It was
somebody.
Philly?
Somebody had one of those. There was a.
I think they have.
I need to find this out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Somebody had a perfect.
It was three teams.
Like number of NBA national TV games for idiots. He put it in like a line graph.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this guy is an absolute hero.
Yeah.
It was. I want to say I know Philly.
I know they got 34 or 28. Was in the Spurs.
Was
Spurs
it the Spurs?
Got 34. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they probably got 28 with the Warriors because I think the Warriors have 28 and there was another one.
It was a Sportico graph. Okay. You are correct. Philly, San Antonio.
Knicks,
and Lakers. Philly went from 14 to 34.
LeBron James.
Anything happen? the Spurs went from what appears to be 22 to 34. The Lakers were at 34 last year. The Knicks were at 34 this year. I did think the other thing that was interesting is I was wondering if this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
In the last few years, I felt like there's been more balance in trying to get, I'm not saying get every team to 10,
mm-hmm.
but getting every team more than two. But look at it this way. The Kings went from 9 to 2. Pelicans stayed at 2. Bucks, for obvious reasons, go from 13 to 2. Grizzlies went from 10 to 2. Brooklyn at 2. That is way more teams with just two national TV games.
There were so many just like here. Like, that's just.
Correct.
Like, the Milwaukee one is the funniest one. Memphis is probably a little funny too, considering that it's like.
Your annual
MLK and then
the job. Heat last year
only
had five. And granted, like that was not a like the Heat have been very boring, I feel like, the last 5 years, but it still was kind of jarring.
They don't pop anymore.
Yeah.
Like they need it, Giannis. Like, how many times have we seen off seasons where the Heat are big game hunting and they come up short? It's just like they needed that pop. But yeah. Milwaukee's two games are both Giannis against the Bucks. Both games. So Milwaukee has two national televised games, both against Miami.
I mean, think about this. The Chicago Bulls only have three games.
Was it three for them? I'm really surprised. I thought, like, even with the Grizzlies, I thought they would get about five.
I think this is interesting. Granted, competitiveness matters.
Yeah.
Clippers went from 21 to 8.
Mm.
So we now have. Here are.
I got to readjust my league pass rankings now because some of the usuals aren't.
13 teams have single digit games.
That's half the league.
And then if you include Pacers, Blazers, and Hawks.
That was the surprise. The Pacers have how many?
11.
That didn't surprise you?
No, I agree. The thing that's more surprising is they went from 9 to 11.
Yeah.
And we knew Halliburton was going to be hurt to start the year, and we also knew the Pacers were going to suck.
Right.
Like, it's shocking that they only have two more than they did last year when we knew they were going to be terrible.
They get 20-plus last year if Halliburton was healthy. So I thought they would get 16 or 17 this year. Like, and they're fun. Like, that's gonna be a team that jumps near the top of my league pass rank. Carlisle offenses get up and down. Halliburton's one of the best passers in the league. Like, they're going to be a fun watch. So they're going to be near the top of my league pass rankings.
Let's see. The
Charlotte didn't get a lot of love, too. I guess that was
Charlotte went from what appears to be 3-6.
Yeah, I thought they would.
Like getting rid of LaMelo.
You think that? I mean, getting rid of him. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they were fun, but they also,
they were my favorite league pass team to watch. Like, if I just for that factor, they were fun.
Yeah, here are the teams that were in single digits. The Suns?
They're in single digits this year?
9.
Wow.
Clippers?
Okay, that's expected.
Magic?
Boring.
Down from 14 to 8.
That's just boring. People are just
Raptors up from 2 to 7.
Okay, Kawhi got a little pool, huh?
Hornets go from 3 to 6, or maybe 4 to 6. Jazz from what appears to be 2 to 6. Wizards 2-6. Those are the top two picks, obviously.
Yeah.
The Bulls had 3 last year, stay at 3. Nets stay at 2. Grizzlies down to 2. Bucks down to 2. Pelicans down to 2. Kings down to 2.
What are some of the other teams that have 2? You said Pelicans?
The teams with 2 games are the Nets, the Grizzlies, the Bucks, the Pelicans, and the Kings.
Ugh, that's bad. I honestly thought the Wizards would get a little bit more love. Because they only got, what, like 5?
They're up to 6.
They got 6.
Okay. Wizards and Jazz.
Oh, Jazz got 6?
They got 6.
Okay, I guess that's fair then. I mean, you laid it out perfectly because I would expect teams like that to have like 8 or 9, but you got 6 teams pretty much with 28 or more, right?
Yep.
Because you got, what, 4 with 34?
4 with 34. And the Thunder have 30. The Nuggets have 28. The Golden Warriors has 28. The Celtics 7. Have 27.
8.
The T-Wolves have 27. And then the Heat have 25.
Gosh. That's like.
I mean, this is just.
That's like Disney taking over all of the. Just monopolizing everything.
Mm. I mean, it's all just concentrated in.
Yeah, like.
I mean.
The star markets.
And the Spurs.
And the Spurs, yep.
That's kind of, and then the Thunder, obviously, but I mean, the Thunder were down from 34 to 30. I mean, that's kind of.
I just need a reason to.
Yeah, I mean, the mm-hmm. I don't think the TV executives needed.
Yeah.
I don't think they were crying over that. Okay, I guess the other things we could be talking about on Monday. So we have the golf tournament going on right now. Sungjae Im currently leading. Scottie Scheffler has had a incredibly hot start. He is 2 back at 6 under. Adam Scott also at 6 under. That is a tough one for all of the wives that are in their late 30s, early 40s, or tough for the husbands. That one will, he's very popular amongst the ladies. So we will have that. I'm also thinking, will we get the AP poll on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously been a lot of talk about the value of preseason polls.
Yep.
Do you think it's going to move the needle on Monday? Because I was not here. I was on vacation when the coaches poll came out.
When you say move the needle.
Did the coaches poll move the needle on the Monday that it came out? Like, did you feel like it was.
Did I put stock into it?
Like, it's not even necessarily that, but like, was it really.
Does it matter to me?
Was it group chat buzz generating?
I mean, not like usual. I think it's.
It feels like we're yelling a lot about preseason polls and their impact, and I feel like we're actually paying attention to them less than ever.
Yeah, the transfer stuff. Like it's so hard to project. Like we just talked about how certain conferences aren't even doing like preseason All-American teams. Like. I remember, you know.
The Americans aren't even doing a preseason poll.
Yeah. Like
they're not even ranking the teams.
I know you remember, but like I just remember being a kid, like getting the magazine.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And this team, my number was 7. If you have 7 or more returning starters, like you're going to be positioned to take that jump. And you see how many returning starters each team has, and it's like that's just not a thing anymore.
No, what I do think is interesting, though, about this year compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the teams that we thought were going to be the best
yeah.
had big questions at quarterback.
Yeah.
And unknowns at quarterback or unproven at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, it does feel like the teams that we have the most confidence in, they are returning their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Or we feel like their quarterbacks are a proven entity.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you have Ohio State returning Julian Sayin. Oregon's returning Dante Moore.
Yep.
Georgia's got Stockton back. Texas has Arch back.
Yep.
Notre Dame's got CJ Carr back. Miami with Darian Mensah.
Yeah.
And then it feels like with Josh Hoover in Indiana, there's the benefit of the Indiana doubt
mm-hmm.
where he is talented and now Indiana's yeah. proven they've done it with Curtis Rourke, and then they did it to an even higher level with Fernando Mendoza. Josh Hoover should be in that same category.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have, like, it does feel, I feel like we have a better grasp of the good teams coming into this year.
Yeah, yeah. I say that about the top, but there's always, I mean, I think,
oh, there's going to be somebody that we're not.
There's going to be a couple.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just throwing this team out there. It's just the first team that popped in my mind. But, like, Auburn is one of those teams I have no clue what to expect. I know they have a quarterback.
I think
they got a defensive coordinator that's gone.
Well, I think Florida's one of these teams where I'm sitting there going.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn goes 9-3. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 6-6.
Yeah, but like, but that's also kind of the Brown impact where
yeah.
he is a very good player. He does not have a history, though, of staying healthy.
Yeah.
But it's like if you tell me he stays healthy for the year, it's like, yeah, that's a team that I definitely believe in.
Yeah.
To be in that better than expected
yeah,
category.
Exactly.
I'm not saying like
exactly.
move over playoff.
They have a wide
Correct.
Range of like variance in terms of how they can be. So I think a lot of teams are there. Even like, who are some of the buzziest teams in that teens range? LSU. LSU's one where
US. Well, so
US,
we're
that's
making,
another
we're,
one.
We're discussing this. So USC is kind of showing up at 14.
Yeah, yeah.
And I totally understand why they're ranked there.
Yeah.
And it's like if I were filling out a bracket or a poll, that's kind of where I think I would fall with them.
Yeah.
I still think the least likely outcome for them is to finish in 14th. Because when you look at their schedule, mm-hmm. they're either going to be like 10-2 playoffy,
yeah,
or they're going to be probably needing a new coach.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of feels like their range. And it's like I don't just see a universe where they wind up 14th.
Yeah.
But like LSU's kind of the same thing where, hey, we could look up in December and go, yeah, $45 million, $50 million rosters. Yeah, what did you expect? Mm-hmm. Like this team's good. But you could also talk me into, hey, man, there were maybe some signs that Sam Leavitt wasn't good to go.
Yeah.
And they don't put it all together year one. Alabama's another one of these weird teams where you look at them and do I really think Alabama's overall combined talent is going to be the 7th or 8th best team? It's like it's kind of tough getting there,
yeah.
but to a certain degree, you don't think it's like irrational to have them ranked behind the teams that they are.
Yeah, right.
But if they get good, solid quarterback production, there's no reason why they can't be just as good as they were last year.
Who was that? I think it was Josh Pate. Did you see his rankings of the SEC quarterback?
Bud Elliott. Alabama quarterback fourth. I would love that.
That's who it was, Bud Elliott.
It's like I trust DeBoer. Like, whichever one they pick.
I would do that for, like, Lincoln Riley. That's something I would do for, like, listen, Lincoln Riley. Who else would you do something like that for? You just throw maybe Leach back in the day.
Well, I think Leach and Kiffin are similar in this.
The system?
I don't like guys in their first year with
okay.
them.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
usually the first yeah. year, it's up and down.
Uh-huh.
It's but guys that have played in it,
yeah.
then it's like, yeah, they're going to produce whether or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's obviously exceptions. Like once upon a time, B.J. Simmons was lighting up the universe for 700 yards. He only played. Played 1 year.
B.J. Simmons.
I saw him throw for 666 in person.
Good Lord.
And some guy named Wes Welker.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Well, that was the other thing. You and I are in our YouTube preparations for the season. One of those common lists that comes up is like the 25 best games of the 2000s, and obviously the Texas Tech, Texas game comes
Crabtree,
up.
Crabtree, yeah.
Shout out, Eric Moore scored in that game.
Really?
Yes, the coach at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He scored one of the early ones.
Yeah.
Because he was like, Eric Morris was, you know how certain programs used to have some variation of the same player every single year?
Yeah.
Like Eric Morris, Morris was the successor, both spiritually, physically, and
to Welker,
pigmentationally,
pigmentationally.
To Welker. It's like you had Welker and like, oh, here's new Welker.
You think he was on the Patriots scouting board once upon a time?
Oh, what? That's a good question. You think Bill Belichick ever asked him, do you know who Wally Pipp is? Still an all-time. And then the other best part is Welker having no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Like Welker was that classic, this kid is from Texas and all he knows is football. Nothing else.
Yeah, straight.
Like, mm-hmm. It's just, huh? Live it.
What?
Yeah.
I major in football.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one or two hits to the head.
Yeah.
Just if we're being honest.
Yeah, just a couple.
Anything else that you think we could be talking about over the weekend? I was trying to think what I included. So there's obviously Pete Nakos mentioned some interesting quarterback battles.
Yeah.
I just don't think anybody's tipping their hand.
No.
Like, Nakos mentions Austin Mack versus Keelan Russell.
We're not seeing much.
Now, it's like, can I pick the guys that I think will start? Yes, but I don't think anyone's going to get announced.
Weren't y'all talking about this yesterday? How, like, well, you were talking about it with Memphis, but.
Yeah,
it's
100%.
In the SEC, too, like, you just see individual stuff, and I think that's probably a little bit more than they get here, but still, like, you look at the NFL, and I'm watching the Packers do, like, one-on-ones.
Practice is televised.
Yeah.
On thanks be to the commish, back to football weekend.
Yeah.
Like, football's family.
We get nothing.
Back Together Weekend presented by YouTube TV.
Yeah.
Clemson would be an interesting one.
Uh-huh.
So you have the other Chris Vizzini, Chris Denson, or Tate Reynolds. I'm just going to go ahead and be dumb and go, this feels like every other time Clemson's had the stud, Vizzini's going to start.
Okay.
And then Tate Reynolds will take over by game five.
And then be the future.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Filer versus Trammell Jones at Florida. I'm willing to bet that the guy that the offensive coordinator brought from his previous school,
that's who I'm going to bet on. That's who you're going to bet on.
And again, I'm not saying these are the guys that end up finishing the year, but like it's like, who do I think is going to start?
Yeah, you only got a couple more weeks.
Jeremy Helinski or Heklinski at Iowa versus Hank Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Heklinski's the one that's brought in. That's who I'd bet on. Same thing at Nebraska. It's Calandria, TJ Lateef. Or Daniel Kalen. Well, Calandria is the one that they spent the money to bring in. That's who I would expect.
Yeah.
I think it is. What is there any whispers coming out of Knoxville?
I mean, not a lot. Like, I didn't check in as much over the last couple days, but I've been trying to get an idea of which way they're going to go. But
I'm going to trust my gut. I think Faison takes the first snap.
First snaps?
Yep. Well, you tell me this. Would you rather bet on Faison to take the first snaps or Staub? Is there any way they go old school bus driver?
Excuse me,
Martin Luther Staub.
Yeah.
Shout out to Deion, the greatest. One does not get enough credit for how good of a one-liner that was.
Staub shouldn't even.
Here's my logic. I've watched zero snaps of practice.
Uh-huh, right.
I've seen George McIntyre play twice in high school.
Yeah.
And then the periodic stuff we've seen.
Yeah.
George looks more like a quarterback than plays like a quarterback.
Oh, Jared Garantano, huh? Well, not exactly him, but Jared.
I'm gonna defend Garantano Bay here.
Oh, you can get a lot of that in Knoxville. That was my guy.
He could have been better if Jeremy Pruitt wasn't the head coach. Because all they kept doing was first down run, second down run, third and nine, because they didn't have a good offensive line, and they didn't have a good – and then it's third and nine, and the guy's just sitting there. He actually, at one point during his senior year, he was the SEC's best third down passer. Mm. But he takes all the blame for everything because your coach was an idiot. Defensive coordinator as a head coach.
If Faison gets the job, I mean, I just don't – I think, look, what's the early slate for Tennessee?
So you start with the bye game, and then it's Tech at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, you got Tech. There's an SEC game they got in that first month, too. Is it
– that's a great – I want to say – Is it like
– I've got it pulled
don't
up.
Don't they play Auburn early?
Who is it?
So, Open, hosting Furman.
Yep, that's the –
playing Tech. They've got Kennesaw State, and then they host Texas.
That's the one. Ooh, good Lord.
Now, that is actually something to consider.
Yeah.
Do you want
– Now, granted, you got two games in there where you can just mollywop teams. So, Faison, like – Get some.
Hold a little bit of water. Like, get their feet under.
Do you old school it? Do you two quarterback it? But that Tech game.
Here's the only way I'm really two quarterbacking it.
Uh huh.
If I don't believe in either of them yet.
I mean, you probably they're young. Especially Faison, but with Mac too. There's only so much you're gonna know about these guys until they get out there.
Who's my French Canadian running back? From Baylor. Kid's incredible.
For Baylor right now?
No, but he's a freshman, right?
Oh, for Tennessee.
Yes.
Josh?
Yeah.
Well, how do you say dude's name?
He's got a triple name, but he's his first language is not English.
Yeah.
He's like all the Macaulay and Baylor kids. They're all from Canada.
Uh-huh. I can't think of his name.
I mean, he was incredible.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're going to have a good run game. Bishop's going to be probably a 1,000-yard guy.
I just think that if you're Tennessee, if you've got young, experienced quarterback, wouldn't you rather have the +1 run game?
Yeah, it's more of the Milton offense probably this year than the
I would rather throw Faison in there. Like, I'm not saying like Faison's Cam, but he's a better runner than George.
Yeah, I mean, he's that's not saying a lot, but
yeah, again,
yeah,
big strider. Come on, excuse me, long strider.
Sneaky slow.
Mm-hmm. I will also admit they had a very tough schedule. It is very tough for me to truly believe in a quarterback that is a D1 SEC guy.
Yeah,
that's team went 2-9 his senior year.
Mm.
Again, there's a little bit of context.
Yeah.
That involves. But it's like, I'm not saying you got to go 11-0. Like, I don't need you to be a wiener. But I do need you to probably get above 500 if you're that good.
Mm-mm-mm.
Especially at Brentwood where there's other talent. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. What did we learn this weekend? One of my favorite segments of the week. I've learned a couple of things that I would like to discuss. We'll talk about it next. Right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We've had some movement over at TPC Southwind. Scotty Scheffler on fire to start his first round. Birdies the first five holes to pull within one shot of Sungjae Im. Sungjae leads the way 8-under par. Scotty currently one back at 7-under. Ludvig Åberg at 6-under. Kurt Kitayama also at 6-under. Siddharthan Yellamaraju at 5-under, as is Keith Mitchell, Patrick Cantlay, Jake Knapp, Wyndham Clark, and Adam Scott. Actually, there's a big group there, tied for fifth. Nico Echevarria at 5-under, as is Tommy Ladd, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Smalley. So they are all currently in a log jam at 5-under par, 3 off the lead. What did we learn this week? Boys, I think I'm going to start with this. I learned you can get an executive producer credit for negotiating an NBA sale. because that's what Bob Iger did.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone's familiar. Bob Iger has more money than I will ever see in my life. He does not have the money to buy the Lakers.
Yeah.
But yet Bob Iger's name got attached to it. Why? Let's do the math. How many contracts did Bob Iger negotiate with Adam Silver? He was clearly the intermediary.
Yeah.
He's the broker.
Yeah.
And apparently if you broker an NBA sale, they will just give you an executive producer credit just like they do in Hollywood. Which also might tell us, like, just take credit for everything. You'll go far in life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not wired like that, but just throw your name off of everything and get as much as you can. So
I'm not wired like that.
I watched the Hoop Collective.
Uh-huh.
They had Ramona.
Yep.
They had McMahon. And they had our boy, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Pablo went on Breaking Points, which is like a political show. I've watched that. I'm still coming to the same conclusion, which is I think more likely than not, it falls into this category.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into Mark Walter gave Trump a championship ring at the White House, and that's going to make everything go away. Now, do I think that was a nothing burger? No, but here's how I look at that move.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not this guy can do something for me.
Yeah.
But there's a chance, so I'm going to butter him up. And I'm going to make him feel warmly towards me in the event that he might be able to do something. Like, it's being on your best behavior when you're on probation.
Like a power play.
Yeah, you're on probation. You comb your hair. You dress better. Like, yeah. You're on your best behavior. Yeah. That's kind of how I looked at it.
Playing a long game.
But if you actually forget about the noise that's going on and look at the behavior, Mark Walter is behaving like somebody that needed cash and needs cash now. And then I use the Bloomberg reporting, which is, hey, he's clearly been caught moving money from one company to another so that he can buy these things that he can't afford. So why would he need cash now? He's having to pay it back so that he doesn't get criminal charges. Again, I am open to letting it play out, but that's kind of where I sit right now. I'm actually, if you want to talk me down the conspiracy route, the conspiracy that I'm more open to is how can somebody that doesn't have the cash to buy these high-ticket items all of a sudden buy them? Well, it's quietly actually being funded by either the Saudi funds, the PIF, or who else have they been looking at? Dubai? So is that the UAE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he obviously has close ties there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk to me about that one, that's where I can start to listen in.
Yeah.
Because that makes way more sense to me, because the price of these franchises has gone so absurdly high, there's not that many human beings that can afford it, but these investment funds can, because they're sitting on trillions of dollars. Anything else about that story that y'all want to weigh in on?
I'm just curious to see how the Dodgers part of it plays out. And there was the Ohtani report, right?
Yep.
And because if this is about, you know, when you're talking about him needing the cash to move cash,
yep,
and the rumors of him selling the Dodgers have, what, well, about a couple
weeks? Well, that was the other thing that was interesting.
Yeah.
He was kind of morphing the Dodgers and the Lakers into kind of the same business. Like, he was starting the process of that.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I didn't realize until this week that you can flip franchises like you can flip houses. 9 months is the official time. So like, it was 14 months, months from when it was announced, but it didn't become official for 9 months.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, he did flip it. And what did he buy? What did he buy the Lakers at?
That's the other thing. Everything is just getting so PR-y to make all the values look higher.
Yeah.
The valuation was $10 million, or $10
billion. Yeah.
But he bought, I believe, George, I think he had 34%. And then he bought out basically the buses, like, remaining controlling shares. I want to say at the, I want to say now they're saying he had 78% of the Lakers, and that is what the Kushner group has bought.
Yeah.
So he bought, I don't know, roughly 30% of the Lakers at the valuation of $10 billion. Does that mean he paid $10 billion? No, it's like he paid three or four somewhere in that area. And then the selling price, it's going to be whatever, 78% or roughly of $12.5 billion.
Yeah. Did you see what Vegas probably could go for? That's wild to me.
Well, that is actually the other aspect that I'm more interested in.
Like, Lakers, Las Vegas, that's not the same.
Well, what I'm fascinated by is why did Kushner and Iger pivot
to the Lakers instead of just...
Now, you could make the argument, well, they pivoted because the opportunity to buy the most glamorous franchise...
I mean, it's the Lakers, yeah.
But I also wonder if this is actually the first sign that expansion's not the slam dunk that it's getting portrayed as. That fascinates me more.
I mean,
because by all accounts, they were
Luka for.
Well, but by all accounts, these guys. Like, the only thing is, like, it hadn't been signed, but is who was going to own the franchise.
Yeah.
Now, who else? They've been aggressive. Well, they were involved. The Kushner and Iger were involved in the trying to buy the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been aggressive. I think they bought a stake in the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, this has kind of been what they've been buying up. But why did they pivot away? Is that also the other thing that was interesting to me? Wendy was not reporting, but Wendy did the story that I heard was Kushner and Iger were contacted to...
What an opportunity.
Contacted to reach out to Walter.
Oh.
Now, Ramona said that doesn't line up with her reporting.
Okay.
Now, if we're just speculating... I'm going to bet Ramona Shelburne's sourcing is going to come much closer to the Iger side of things.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would want that out there.
Yeah.
So I'm more inclined to believe Wendy's story than I would be Ramona's story, even though, like, you're kind of, it's neither here nor there. Other things that I learned. Jaden Daniels didn't read the room this week.
Oh, he's a meme now. Have you been seeing all these memes?
No.
Was it StubHub? I think it was StubHub. StubHub, and this is still crazy to me that, like, brands are, like, they think they're so, like, attached to the regular people that they can, like, chime in on all these jokes and stuff like that. It's still weird to me. But anyways, StubHub, this was funny, though. StubHub posted the tickets for a Commanders game against whoever they play next in the preseason. And see if you can find it.
I haven't pulled it up.
Yeah, okay, just read it.
Effective immediately, we will no longer offer tickets in groups of five. Out of respect for Jaden Daniels, we're only doing four or six plus. Thank you for your understanding.
All right, I need to see. Is this a meme that looks better than it?
Oh, well, yeah, it also has a picture of the stadium and where, you know, when you try and buy tickets, it says, how many tickets do you want?
And it goes one through four, and then it skips
one,
five.
Two, three, four, six plus.
Okay, you're right. The joke appears better than it reads.
Yeah,
for sure.
I guess here is...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, probably. And the one, there was someone who put out a Photoshop of like all the LSU players wearing a number 5 jersey. Like LSU players are standing up for DJ Pickett, and it's like the whole team wearing number 5.
Well, none of them played with Jaden.
Yeah.
I guess here is
where... Is he going to make a song out of this?
Oh, somebody's gonna make a song. Somebody's going to make a song. Yeah, that's... Man, you...
I don't think this is like Jaden's 1,000% in the wrong. It's no. Like, do I, if
I
I'm
think
a...
There's wrongs on both sides.
Correct. It's like, if mm-hmm. I'm a judge, I actually wind up siding with LSU, but right. It's close. Because I do think what is true is they told him they weren't going to give out 5. Now... This always goes to my larger point. I think retiring numbers is stupid.
Yeah, ring of honor.
Ring of honor.
Ring of honor.
100%.
Let's do it. Yep.
Because.
Look at the Celtics. You got,
well, if you want history to last for. Like, I think it's so dumb that the Yankees were
Yankees?
Running out of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single digit. It's like, it's insane.
Have superstars wearing number 72.
Correct. I mean, like, when you start having these spring training numbers as guys' everyday numbers, it's like, that's dumb to me.
Ring of honor, man.
But I do believe, obviously, in honoring the players.
For sure. It's just a different way of doing it than, like...
Now, so, obviously, everyone's going to do the pitting Jaden and Burrow.
Yeah.
I
hate that part.
Acknowledge this? 5 is a much more sought-after number than 9.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 is pretty limited to pretty much quarterback. I mean, you can have...
You got to, yeah, every now and then. But 9 is pretty much, quarterback. 5, any skill position.
Basic, well, I mean, hell now.
I mean, you got DNs. I mean, Ken Dicci wore 5, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much every position...